Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Thursday, everyone. Thank you for spending your lunch break with us here on Catching Up with Bob LaBelle. I'm your host, Joe Perrello of SuiteSports.com. That's S-U-I-T-E, Sports.com. Check us out whenever you get a chance. You can check out Bob LaBelle's blog. You can check out our snarky sports commentary and some high school and college recruiting. Joining me, as always, sports legend, the face of Boston sports for 30 years, Mr. Bob LaBelle. Bob, how you doing today?
I'm okay, Joe, as long as you can hear me all right.
Yeah, we can hear you just fine. And obviously, you touched on a bunch of things in your blog this week. It was a very, very busy week for Boston sports, and perhaps not the best of weeks, with Doc Rivers leaving town, Aaron Hernandez being charged with murder, obstruction of justice, and the Bruins going down in six games in the Stanley Cup Finals. And that's kind of where I want to start. It was really a heartbreaking way to lose. They were up 2-1 with, what, less than a minute and a half to go, and they gave up two goals in roughly 17 seconds to the Blackhawks and get eliminated at the TD Garden. Really tough way to go out after a pretty incredible playoff run for the Bruins. So I've got to ask you, Bob, you've seen a lot of Boston sports moments, and really Boston sports moments. We tend to remember the heartbreaking ones, the really tough ones, the Buckners and things like that. Where does the two goals in 17 seconds rank among the all-time disappointments in Boston sports history?
Well, that's a fair question, and I think other people have also tried to wrestle with that one. And here's how it could have been worse. It could have been game seven.
Yeah.
It could have been much worse. It was stunning, to say the least.
Mm.
If we'd not done that to Toronto, it would have been even more stunning.
Yeah.
But we certainly, the Stanley Cup giveth and the Stanley Cup taketh away. So the fact that about 3 weeks ago we did it to somebody else took a little of a sting out of it. And I guess if it were game seven, it would have just been, way over the top. Now, it was over the top, I'll say that.
Yeah.
I don't think it was as tough as the Super Bowl loss to the Giants in the Tyree catch. I think that was tougher. I think certainly Buckner and Grady Little were tougher. I think this was difficult on a lot of levels, but there, I think most people had come to grips with the fact that this was not the same Bruins team that won in 2011, or I should say their opponent, the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah.
Not an easy team to hate, like not like Vancouver. So,
yeah.
You might have disliked them, but you certainly respected them because they played the game the right way. Both teams played the game pretty much the right way. And so, yeah, lost it, and that was very disappointing. But we've had worse. So, and this could have been worse.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly one people are going to be talking about for a long time. But you're right. If this was game seven and a chance to win the cup with less than a minute and a half, ooh, that would have been tough.
Think about that. Think about what that would have been like.
Yeah. Well, I've got to ask then, what is, in your mind, the biggest letdown or the biggest disappointment in Boston sports history? Is it the Buckner? Is it the ball rolling through his legs, or is it something else?
No, it wasn't Buckner, because that was game six. Could have been game seven, right? Just like this. And the Sox actually had a lead in game seven. You have to go back and, check them.
Yeah, they're up 3-0.
Buckner was pretty cruel, but it wasn't the worst. Grady Little was pretty bad. Wasn't the worst. I think the Super Bowl loss to the Giants after going 19-0 and losing to the Tyree catch, since he hasn't caught another ball in the National Football League, nor will he, I think that kind of stands alone in terms of difficult losses, difficult moments. Now, you talk about Dan Shaughnessy had a great column today, and I couldn't agree with him more, that this was the worst. The Hernandez stuff is the worst. It doesn't get any sadder or badder than this. And where they go from here, anybody's guess, but it's just such a brutal story. And
yeah,
we're not done with it yet by any stretch of the imagination. Yeah, it's been a tough week in a lot of ways. We've had great weeks in a lot of ways. Ironically, the Red Sox, who now have taken over front and center in the public relations, the Red Sox, other than these two games against Colorado, they lost 6 of 7 and gained ground on the rest of the American League East. So we're in for a pretty wild summer throughout July and August and September, a pretty wild summer.
Yeah, certainly going to be an interesting summer, and obviously once these other stories die down a little bit, we'll fully focus on the Red Sox. You mentioned that Super Bowl loss, and so much was at stake there, the undefeated season, the chance for Tom Brady to match Joe Montana with 4 Super Bowls, and obviously they've lost to the Giants again since then. So kind of a watershed moment for legacies of he and Bill Belichick.
Don't forget that they had come back, and Brady had engineered a drive with a touchdown pass to Randy Moss, which was a clear historic ending, or would have been, with the years of Brady and Moss had together in that 19-0 run, and to have them finish it out with the Super Bowl. I mean, the story had already been written, and then the Giants coming back. That was painful. I mean, it hurts to talk about it, but the thing about the Hernandez story, and I was sick to my stomach over that. I mean, I just kind of went out this morning and, you know, had a cup of coffee, talked to some people, and it really is something that's difficult to get your head around because of the emotional impact that this had. This guy was like some bum, you know, 8th-round draft pick or whatever, came in as a free agent or whatever and did it, you know, okay, the man was killed, it was a murder that took place, and this 8th-round draft pick from, you know, some A&M school, whatever, it would be going away real quickly.
Yeah.
This is not going to go away quickly.
No, it's not, and we're, you know, finding more out by the day about his past, and there's all these other boxes are opening about, you know, he had a violent past and things of that nature. So it sounds like to me you're probably in agreement with the Patriots letting him go. They let him go before he was even arraigned. Forget about the legal system playing out. Do you think they made the right call there?
They knew what was going on. They knew what the charges were going to be. It's impossible for them not to have known. So, Having said that, I do agree with Shaughnessy. He said that people are going to say the Patriots did the right thing, but the reality was the Patriots did the only thing they could do, and that was to say goodbye to this guy, wipe his name off any depth charges. You go ahead on a website and see if you can find Aaron Hernandez's name on any future publication or whatsoever. They have... You know, took all his jerseys out of the pro shop, and it's like he never existed for the Patriots. As much as they could, they have distanced themselves from this guy. This guy's a hell of a player. I mean, really, wasn't he? I mean, he was. If there's no Gronkowski, then this is the guy. This is your all-pro tight end. Well, he's all-prison tight end.
It's pretty interesting, and, you know, just from a football standpoint, you lose him, Gronkowski's a question mark, they lose Welker from last season, they lose Lloyd from last season. I mean, Brady's one of the all-time great quarterbacks, but the cupboard's getting
good,
a little bit bare.
Right, I'm saying, you know, he is one of the all-time greats, but even he's not going to be able to make up for what they might have lost, so they got some work to do. They may be able to... You know, find a way around this or through this or past this, but this whole season now is going to be tainted by Gronkowski's injuries and Hernandez's arrest. It's still just unbelievable to me, this quality of player. Just couldn't figure it out. The gang world was more important than the NFL world, clearly, in this guy's mind. So
Yes, it's very, very bizarre. You know, a guy signs that lucrative of a contract. You think the only thing on his mind would be just having fun and enjoying
that's
the fruits
right.
of it
now,
of his hard work getting that level.
This guy had much deeper issues in the gang world and clearly was unable to leave that in the past. He just could not. Money just could not. And it's happened many times before. Money just can't put you down the right path of life. Money can help or it can hurt, but it's not going to do it for you. You still have to do it yourself. And clearly, Aaron Hernandez could not do it for himself. Punk. I mean, that's it. The way.
Yeah.
If he's a good, great football player, not good. He could be a great football player, but, yeah, he's a punk for sure.
And incidentally, he adds to the list of, I don't know if you realize this, former Florida Gators under Urban Meyer that have all been arrested for different things. That team, known for being pretty squeaky clean because Tim Tebow was the face of it, but actually more arrests than any team in college football during that time. And now the legacy lives on in the NFL with this unfortunate incident with Aaron Hernandez.
You're right about that.
Go ahead.
Steve brought up the Urban Meyer thing because he and Belichick are close. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind, or should there be in anybody's mind, that Belichick and Urban Meyer had conversations about Aaron Hernandez during that draft.
Yeah.
And that's why the Patriots took him. Did they not do their homework? I don't know. I think there's some things that you think you can overcome, but clearly can't. This would be one of those examples. So, Urban Meyer, whatever. That program, it was something about Florida. It was either it's Florida or the U at Miami. You know, this is a world of trouble. Where, like, and what, 28, 30 people, 30 guys have been arrested since the Super Bowl in the NFL? I mean.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Anybody, these guys, a lot of these guys would be in jail if it wasn't for the National Football League.
Yeah, most definitely. And getting back to the Florida University of Miami thing, it's weird because Hernandez is from Connecticut. He isn't even from the area. So I don't really know how he ended up down there, but obviously a tremendous talent.
Great job recruiting him, and I'm sure his posse got some benefits, whatever. We don't know. I mean, the tentacles for a school like that and a high-powered program like that, if you're a good player, they'll find you. No.
Yeah, most definitely, most definitely.
Patriots,
I want to go back
to
the.
Know.
Go ahead.
No, the Patriots, do they go ahead and change their strategy or whatever about drafting? Do they, you know, their philosophy on drafting any different? But also, I don't mean to jump around here, but I'm going to speak about Florida. You went down to the seventh game of the Miami Heat and the Spurs. How was, what was it like?
It was a heck of a night, Bob. I was very, very fortunate. I was able to score tickets to Game 4 of the Stanley Cup at TD Garden, and then I jumped on a plane the next morning, and I was at Game 7 of the NBA Finals. And, whew, I got to tell you, two totally different crowds. You know, we went to Boston. It was the diehards. They were pounding on the glass. Everyone was going crazy. They ended up losing that game. That was when they lost 6-5 in overtime. And the next night I was amongst the stars, amongst the celebrities in Miami. Sat next to, not the Kardashians, what's the younger ones? The Jenners, I guess Jenner's daughters that have his last name. And Cam Newton was around, a couple of rappers, things like that. It was really surreal.
You were like, big time, Joe, big time.
Yeah, you know, Sweet Sparks has taken us to the top, Bob.
That's right. Did you, to take pictures, or is this
I got pictures.
One of those things you just went to enjoy it?
Oh, no, you know this modern day and age. We can't go anywhere without taking a million pictures on our phone and posting them to Facebook and putting them on Twitter and things like that. So, yeah, I got some pictures. I wrote a blog on Sweet Sports. If anybody out there wants to check it out, there's some pictures of the different crowds and things like that. And really just comparing the two experiences, I don't think you can get two more opposite championship experiences than Bruins in the Stanley Cup, Heat in the NBA Finals. Just the total mindset of the crowds and the teams just polar opposite.
Explain that.
Well,
I mean, one celebrates with champagne, the other celebrates with beer.
You know, that would be one way to describe it. I didn't get to see both teams celebrate because you got to remember I was there for a Bruins loss. So it's a little apples and oranges. But the game time experience, you know, there was a definite electricity and energy in both buildings, but for different reasons. You know, the Bruins crowd was highly in tune to the game. It was, you know, cheering for poke checks and clearings and, you know, killing penalties and things, subtle things like that. Where in Miami, the crowd would go crazy for dunks and three-pointers and not much else, you know, occasional block, things like that. But the crowd wasn't – it didn't seem like they were as invested. And we got these tickets through my dad's work, and they were great seats, and we got access to the premium lounge and things like that. We were in the premium lounge during the game to try to grab a drink, and people were in there watching the game, cheering loudly and everything, and you just wanted to tap these people on the shoulder and say, like, you know, you can go through this curtain and the game is right there that you paid to watch. But so they were there for the celebrity experience.
Sometimes in Foxborough it happens too, that people,
yeah,
you know, I've covered Super Bowls where members of the media will sit not watching the game but watching in the press room on television of the game. So it's like, yeah, I mean, these are totally different experiences, but that's great, Joe. I'm happy for you, and I assume that, I don't know if you wanted Miami to win or not, but at that point.
Oh, yeah. I wanted, you know, I'm a self-admitted fair-weather Heat fan. I grew up in South Florida, but my family's from Pittsburgh, so I was rooting for the Pittsburgh teams. But, you know, Pittsburgh doesn't have an NBA team, so I picked up the Heat when they stink. I'll watch them every now and then. When they're great, I'll watch them in the playoffs and stuff like that. But I'm not a diehard. I'm the problem with Miami fans. I'm not a diehard fan by any means.
No, I get it. I understand. But it's nice that you can appreciate those little nuances of the difference in the crowds and the difference in the atmosphere. Because clearly they would be different. Even if it was the same city, it would be different because of the nature of the games. And besides, the Spurs had their shot. Game six was their shot. And shame on them for blowing it. I really think that there was no way in the world they should have just lost that game. And I just, they have only themselves to blame.
Yeah, you really got the feeling after they lost that game, after, you know, what were they at? They're up four with the ball, shooting free throws. And to give up those back-to-back three-pointers, the LeBron James three. Then LeBron misses a three. They give up the offensive rebound, and Ray Allen hits the three to send it to overtime. I mean, probability was over 99%. If you look up the stats, their win probability in that situation was 99.4%. Chances of them losing that game.
All you had to do was make a couple of key fouls, put them to the line, and there's no way they could have come back and beaten you with three-pointers.
Yeah, exactly. If they would have just fouled LeBron before he took that three, he would have shot, what, 1-1? He would have shot 1-1, so it would have been impossible.
Yeah. Well, so where was the coach? Where was that strategy? You know?
Yeah, Popovich, one of the greats of all time, but he made some questionable decisions.
Antonio, but he wouldn't have got away with it here.
Yeah, no, that's true. The media is a little bit more media scrutiny in Boston than in San Antonio. But, you know, Boston coaches, they're always under the microscope. And speaking of that, Doc Rivers, he's headed out of town after a pretty great run with Boston's version of the Big Three. He won a title, went to two NBA finals, took the Lakers to seven, nearly won a pair. But I want to know, you know, you've seen a lot of Celtics basketball. What do you think his legacy is going to be? Because he wasn't a great coach until he got the Big Three. And after the Big Three aged, he, again, wasn't a great coach. Always been a good coach and pretty widely respected around the league. You know, is he going to be viewed as a great coach in the history of the Celtics or just a good one?
I think just a good one. I mean, people are certainly beginning to realize no coach is going to will a championship. It's all about, you know, players, you're going to be a successful coach, period. But my feeling about Doc Rivers is that he's very smart and he's very selfish, and he didn't want to work too hard. He didn't want to work hard enough to just stay around and no matter what the money was and rebuild this team. It was time for him to move on. And you know what? He got a chance to coach a much better team. And that, if that's what he's all about, then that's what he's all about. There'll be plenty of people that'll swear by Doc Rivers, and there'll be plenty of people that'll swear at him. I mean, I think that he was, I think he was wrong. I think he, people hate Patino around here. They won't hate Doc Rivers, but they certainly can't deify him for this sleazy move. And I think it was a sleazy move, actually.
Yeah, kind of. He kind of forced their hand because he basically said he didn't want to be here. You can't really bring back a guy that pretty much quit on
right.
the team.
Yeah, so, okay, they got a draft pick for him, which is, you know, probably with the L.A. Clippers, it's not going to mean much of anything. So,
yeah.
No, they, you know, okay, great. They can say they got something for him. But sleazy move. It was a sleazy move, okay? And that's, to me, that's the way I'll view them. But I don't know how other fans might be just so overjoyed he brought him or was there for one championship. But, and I clearly also have no interest in seeing Kevin Garnett or Pierce back next year.
Yeah. But, well, you know, you said it's a sleazy move, but in my opinion, I think it could benefit the Celtics in the long run. It could force them to bring in a young coach. It, you know, you want to start stockpiling draft picks. So you get this draft pick, and then maybe you get a draft pick for Garnett. Then maybe you get a draft pick for Pierce. And then maybe you can package all those for a higher draft pick.
A month ago, when they could have signed Brian Shaw, who would have been a perfect replacement for Doc Rivers. But, you know, Denver grabbed him. And that, you know, if Doc Rivers had been honest a month ago, this all would have been, you know, you've been able to have a coach going into the draft. Now it's not, now, who's going to be left out there? Coaches.
That
is a retread, probably somewhere, a retread.
No, that's definitely a great point that, you know, it's kind of the point Cleveland fans were saying when LeBron left. Like, if he would have just been honest, we could have made different signings and things like that. But in this case, it's even more because the Celtics are one of the prime jobs in the NBA. They could have had their pick of the litter.
Right. Now, you think, but I think Brian Shaw would have been here in a heartbeat. It would have been a nice, completing the circle since he was here as a player, whatever. But forget it. It's not. He's taken, and they're not about. People talking about, well, maybe Danny Ainge will come back and coach. I don't think that solves anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that I don't think that would solve anything either. You know,
it's been a tough week, Joe. You're right. It's been we've gone from marathon tragedy. We've gone from the Toronto Maple Leaf exaltation, and now we're bummed out by a lot of different things. However, the Red Sox could save the day before it's over.
Yeah, that's certainly the hope. Certainly the hope is that the Red Sox have a big summer in store to kind of rebuild the psyche of Boston sports, and then hopefully the Patriots can somehow overcome their lack of weaponry and you know, put together a nice fine season. Last question, Bob, let you go. And also for anybody listening, we're not going to be on during the 4th. We're going to enjoy the 4th of July. Without a
I'll try not to call in.
Thanks, Bob. I appreciate it. last question. Staying with the Celtics, do you think right now, we mentioned, you know, stockpiling draft picks, they're probably going to get rid of Garnett and Pierce. Do you think they have enough to rebuild around? Rondo's coming off an injury. Green had a good season. Sullinger improved. But do they just totally blow this thing up, maybe try to trade Rondo and see what they can swing for him and trade everybody and just try to draft and sign free agents? Or do you think that's a good enough core to put pieces around to, you know, contend sometime soon?
I'm not smart enough to answer that question and be right or wrong, but it just feels like they're not. It feels like they're not. The Rondo thing, you almost have to stay with him and see how he can play before you trade him because of the surgery. And I don't think so. I think if they had the stuff, then I think Doc Rivers might have just stayed here. But, no, it's going to be too complicated and too long for them to make any kind of comeback.
Yeah, that will be tough. Do you think they trade Paul Pierce wherever he wants to go? Do you think they owe him that?
Yes, I think they they owe him that? I don't know. I don't think so. I think they try to get the best deal they can for him. It might be a place that he wants to go, but they're not going to get a whole lot for him, a second round pick or whatever. I just don't. It's kind of over for him. I do think that the same with Garnett. They just kind of hung around a couple years too long. One, certainly.
At least one. You know, Danny Ainge was talking, and he said something about, you know, Red Auerbach mentioning that he kept those championship teams together a little too long after they had gone over the hill, and he wanted to make sure he didn't make that mistake. But I feel like he kind of already did make that mistake for the last year or two, at least. Do you agree with that?
I do. I totally agree with that. I can understand why he said that. But, you know, when Red was running the show, it was a little different world back then. The draft was an animal, and, you know, things, the Celtics just were in a position to make top pick after top pick. It was a much different world back then. You know, people were staying in college for 4 years. Now it's a different pool to choose from. And I think Ainge did what you just said he did. He just waited a year or two too long. And it's hard to not break up that gang, you know, the gang that brought you there. So.
Yeah, and we see that in every sport. We see that in every sport. I think you look at the NFL, like the Steelers aren't cutting veterans. Patriots aren't cutting veterans.
They don't fall in love with players. They fall in love with winning. I'd say that's Belichick's greatest asset. They'll have to somehow get by this Hernandez thing, but they will, and it might serve them well to be somewhat of an underdog going into the season for a change.
Yeah, it's certainly been a while since they've been the underdog. And, hey, the last time they were an underdog, what was that, way back in 2001, they won the Super Bowl.
There you go.
There you go. All right, Bob, thanks so much. I guess we got another week off next week, but we'll be back in 2 weeks. Always good to have you. Enjoy the 4th.
All right, Joe. Thanks. You too. Appreciate it.
Bye.